have to be the class clown. They got enough of them making millions. You're going to be a clown and you're not even making a nickel. Don't sell yourself short. Praise God. I was looking at what they were saying there. You are somebody. Don't let no, I believe on the back of this program. Did I see that on the back of the program? Young folk, turn to the back of this program. You are somebody. All of those folks that they paraded up here today, those folks made some decisions in their life. I made some decisions long time ago, praise God, that has resulted me to being right here where I am today. I don't hardly tell people about myself. I'm hoping I'm going to help a young person in here. You see, when I was in high school, I did not want a D or a C and very few B's on my report card. And I'll never
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate His death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Thank God for the miracle. It came on fire this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Well, while we're getting together, look in your Bibles and find 2 Chronicles. To our associate and president of Reverend Smith and Coleman, all of our officers, members, deacons, and friends, especially those who visited with us, I want to just say to you, we're thankful for your presence.
Yes, yes.
And invite you whenever you can find time to come and share with us in our worship experience. And if by chance someone looking for a church home, the Mount Olive Church is a good place to be. Amen. Now, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, everybody got to say amen. I just want to read verse number 14. One of the most frustrating things in the world is not to be able to get something to say. And the Lord just say, go to sleep, I'll fix you up. Mm-hmm. You wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning, it was already there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. And it reads, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their lands. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we thank you now for another preaching privilege. We ask now for a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. Pray that your word will go forth and that it will lift up bowed down heads, that it will mend broken hearts to save a lost soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If my people,
yes.
That's my subject.
Yes, sir.
If my people. Let me begin by saying that there are all kinds of people in the world today. There's hurting people in our cities, hurting people, thank you, Ursus, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, and even in our families. And my brothers and sisters, in some cases, it's because many are involved in different lifestyles and they're trying to fill that emptiness in their hearts with worldly things. But I need to say that no matter how hard they try to fill that emptiness, they will always come up short because that emptiness was created in our hearts to be filled only by God. Note we read in Acts 17 and 28, for in him we live, we move, and have our being. My brothers and sisters, without God, we are empty. Without God in our lives, there is no purpose. Without God in our lives, we search for the meaning of life. Without God in our lives, we are hurting, and that's why people are overdosing on drugs, because they're hurting. People are giving up on life and feel that they have no hope because they're hurting. And we can go on and on, and people are running away from home, joining cults, involved in gang violence, involved in drug dealing, involved in crime, involved in all kinds of stuff to try to fill their emptiness. And that's why there was a great need today to reach out to hurting people, that there's a need for hurting people to come to Jesus. In other words, there is a great need for revival in this generation. On last night, we went to bed on a mass shooting in El Paso, Texas, that left 20 folk dead and 40 wounded. We woke up this morning to a mass shooting in Ohio that left 9 dead and 16 wounded. Our U.S. cities are becoming to sound like war zones, all because we have a leader who's fanning the flames of racism and white supremacy. And I'm talking about making America, he's talking about making America great, when in reality, he's saying making America white again. We're not going back, we're going forward. And he's doing this with such talk as sending people back of color back to where they came from and the like. My brothers and sisters, with all the crime and racism and hatred going on in our world today, we need revival. And so this morning I want to talk about some things that you and I can do to bring about healing in our land. The devil run from the truth. Things we can do to see the lives of hurting people reached by the power of God Almighty. And so note the text starts by saying, if my people who are called by my name. Note it doesn't say if the unsaved people call upon me, then I will hear from heaven. No, God says if my people who are called by my name. But now, how does one know that they are God's people or that they belong to God? My brothers and sisters, every person who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life is God's child, and you're one of God's people. And so we read in our text in 2 Chronicles 7:14, is really a biblical plan of action for revival and spiritual renewal. Are y'all here with me? Because note, if you will, that in chapter 6, Solomon asked God to make provision for the people when they sinned. But months and perhaps years had passed since Solomon prayed this prayer of dedication. But then, after all this time, God told Solomon that he had heard Solomon's prayer. But you know, how often do we look for immediate answers for prayer, and when nothing happens, we wonder if God even heard our prayer. But my brothers and sisters, God always hears, and he will provide for us. It's just that we have to trust him to answer our prayer in his own time and not ours. Because we cannot manipulate, nor can we rush God. And so in an answer to Solomon's prayer, he prayed in chapter 6, God answered with four conditions in our text in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that are relevant even today for God's people. We ought to humble ourselves by admitting our sins and pray to God by asking his forgiveness and seeking his will continually as we turn from our sinful behavior. Because true repentance is more than just talk, but it's a change of behavior. And so whether we sin individually, as a group, or as a nation, following these steps will lead to forgiveness and renewal, because God will always answer our earnest prayer of repentance. And so we note again in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not addressed to everybody, but to God's people. In other words, God is speaking to people who identify themselves with him, people who call themselves by his name and associate with his people and his work. He's speaking to people that we all call saved, redeemed people of God. Folk who belong to God today through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Notice it doesn't say you have to be a certain age, you have to be saved for a certain amount of time, or you have to have a lot of gifts and talents, but the text simply says, my people. In other words, we don't need a lot of gifts and talents to bring forth healing in the land, but the one thing each of us can do, and that is we can all call on the name of the Lord. And so it is in verse 13 of our text that God told Solomon that Israel's disobedience to his word would result in some dire consequences. God would shut up heaven, causing no rain and causing a drought and commanding the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence or something like a fatal epidemic among his people. But it is in our immediate text in verse number 14 that God tells Solomon that when chastisement came upon his people because of their sinful rebellion, that they could be restored back to a place of blessing and closeness to him. In other words, our text speaks to how the people of God could receive his restoration. But now when Israel received this warning and promises of our text, they received it on a great day of excitement, because it was on the day that God's temple in Jerusalem was being dedicated. And so they were not in need of revival and restoration at that time, but it wouldn't be long, Rev. Smith, before Israel would wander away from God and allow sin to dominate their life and spiritual apathy destroy their worship. But unlike Israel during the time of our text, we need revival and restoration right now. Because bigotry, hatred, racism, senseless killing, lying leaders, and is bringing about heartaches and a sense of hopelessness to many. And so we are in need of revival in this land. And most importantly, we are also in need of revival in our church. In other words, we need God to break our hearts and shatter our wills and bring us to a place of humble repentance, confession, and restoration. Because God is calling on his people to be renewed and revived, which will cause our land to be healed. But there are some spiritual requirements before this can take place. And so the first thing we see in our text is requirements of spiritual renewal. Because before spiritual renewal can become a reality, the people of God that God called my people must meet four specific requirements. First of all, spiritual renewal requires preparation, meaning the first thing that we must do is to humble ourselves before God. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. Now, the word humble has the idea of being under another. And therefore, the first step of spiritual renewal is remembering who God is and recognizing God's place as we humble ourselves before him by acknowledging his lordship and headship over our lives. Because when we humble ourselves before God, we are admitting our weakness and reaching out for his help. Because my brothers and sisters, the only hope we have is to come to the place where we openly admit our weaknesses, our failures, and our utter dependence upon the Lord. Meaning when we admit we can't do it and we don't know how and concede to the fact that we are helpless and hopeless without him, my brothers and sisters, it's only until we reach that place in life that we'll be able to experience a deep, life-changing spiritual renewal. That's why we must never forget that God blesses humility, but he stands in opposition to pride. And that's why the Bible says in James 4, 6, and 10 that God resists the proud but favors the humble. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. But let me also say that if we don't humble ourselves before God, there may come a day when the Lord will do it for you. And his methods are not always most pleasant. And so spiritual renewal requires humility. Secondly, spiritual renewal requires prayer. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Now, prayer is humility in action. Because when the praying person sees his or her own inability and recognizes God's ability, it will cause him or her to come before the Lord to seek the help that one needs. Because prayer is an essential ingredient in the mystery of revival and restoration. Yet many times we come before the Lord in our weak, faltering ways, seeking a small, limited response to our situation. But then God points to a greater answer, and then he blesses us in ways that we cannot explain. Because when we seek him in faith, he will answer in power. And that's why the Bible tells us again in Philippians 4, 6, it says in plain and simple terms, it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. In other words, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. And so instead of wondering why so much evil is happening in our world today, perhaps we should take our concerns to God in prayer. And so spiritual renewal requires prayer. Also, spiritual renewal requires passion. It says, seek my face. Now, to seek means to desire something. It's the idea of coming to a place where God is the number one priority and desire of our hearts. Meaning nothing in life is more important, more precious, or more needful to us than to have God and all that he offers. And that's why Paul again says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. Because Jesus was his passion and the driving force in his life. Meaning Paul's goal was to know and experience this new life that Jesus could produce in him. And so to seek the Lord is to turn away from self, is to esteem him worthy with more honor than we attribute to ourselves. It's to strive to live for him and to be found in his favor by seeking his blessings on our lives. In other words, it means to pursue and to desire him above all other things. Because in our day and time, we have so many other things that we pursue in life, causing us to be fragmented in our devotion so that we have no place for the Lord to occupy first place in our lives. Yeah, yeah. Fourthly, spiritual renewal requires purity. Turn from their wicked ways. Now this phrase is self-explanatory. God wants his people to turn from their sins, meaning we must examine our lives, identify anything that does not please God, align up with his word, and we must eliminate that from our lives. Now, it sounds harder than it is because as we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, our sins will increasingly become clearer. And this calls for repentance. I read somewhere someone said that repentance is not basically a religious word. It comes from a culture where the people was essentially nomadic and they lived in a world with no maps or street signs. And so it's easy to get lost walking through the desert. But you come to be aware that the countryside seems a little strange. Yes. And so you finally say to yourself, I'm going in the wrong direction. And that's the first act of repentance. The second act of repentance is to go in the alternate direction. It implies that you not only do this, but you got to admit it to all of your companions. And so repentance is recognizing the fact that we are headed in the wrong direction. That's step one. Step two is simply turning around and going the other way. Even though we may not lack the word repentance, because a word like that make us feel that we're lacking in some areas of our lives. But the fact is, before spiritual renewal can come to any people, that person must be clean in the sight of God. And so we might as well acknowledge the truth that we are all guilty before a holy God. And that's why the Bible says, 1 John 1 and 8 through 10, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then if we decide that we never sin, the Bible said, now you're calling God a liar. Amen. Because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And even though you are saved, you still have that sinful nature on the inside. And if that sinful nature is on the inside, we are still prone to sin. Are you with me? And that's why he put this here, to show us that the remedy for sin is repentance. Bottom line, before spiritual renewal can come to any people or person, one must be clean in the sight of God. Now the final thing before anybody try to go to sleep, the results of spiritual renewal. Because when God's people, he's talking about my people, meet God's requirements, we move into a place where it becomes more likely that we would experience true spiritual renewal. Even if a world-changing revival is in the end result, the blessings we will receive make seeking him worth every effort. Are you with me? Because when we come to the Lord, amen, and we humble ourselves and we pray to the Lord and we repent of our sin, God will hear us. But sin hinders our prayer. When sin is taken care of, prayer can flow unhindered to and from the throne of God. My brothers and sisters, there's no more powerful force in the world than unhindered prayer life. Why? Because unhindered prayer has the ear of God, and it is used by him to accomplish his will here on earth. No, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, he says, I will do it. God promises to forgive our sins, and not only will the prayer connection be restored, but we are brought to a place of close fellowship with him. My brothers and sisters, there's nothing in this world to compare with being able to have a close communion with God Almighty. The ability to come into his presence, to worship, to sense his power, his peace, and his joy. And his presence, I tell you, is priceless. Because God will then hear us and heal us. Note the text says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice he says, then and only then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Remember now that this verse was given to Israel, God's chosen people. They were warned that their sins would be answered by the Lord through chastisement of a drought in verse 13. A lack of rain would then devastate their crops. It would devastate their land as well as their population. And so the Lord's promise to them is that the true repentance equals rain. In other words, if they honor him, he will honor them. If they open up their hearts to him, he would in turn open up the heavens and bring forth rain and heal their land. My brothers and sisters, in a sense, we are in the same situation. Because our homes, our communities, and our world is going through a drought of spiritual blessings as well as spiritual power. But if God's children would come back to him in genuine repentance and true devotion, we'll begin to see our lives, our families, our children, our community, and our nation, our world impacted by the grace and power of God. Yeah. And so as I try to move to the close, notice that the conditions and the promises related to spiritual renewal are given to God's people. Yet when times of refreshing come, they will touch the whole nation. Now, the implication here is clear, and that is genuine spiritual renewal affects those who have been renewed along with everything around them. Meaning true spiritual renewal in our hearts and in our churches will create a spiritual dynamic that will impact our homes, our communities, our schools, our neighbors, our White House, our nature, as well as our world. But now the key word here in the text is if, which is a conditional word, meaning if we, yes, Lord, meet God's requirements, then he will do as he promises. Notice the text says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. My brothers and sisters, I believe you agree with me when I say our land needs healing. But it's dependent on God's people, meaning God's requirements for spiritual renewal. And so the text says, as God's people, we must humble ourselves before God. We must pray. We must seek God's face. We must repent or turn from our wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and heal our land. And I hear Jesus saying, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Meaning as God's people, after meeting his spiritual requirements, we must lift up the name of Jesus by telling men and women, boys and girls, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We got to tell somebody that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, I tell you, Jesus, he hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross for the sins of the world. And after laying in the grave 3 days and three nights, it was bright early Sunday morning that he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. It's because he lives I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Yes, Lord, I don't know about you, but I tried him for myself. He lifted me up and he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. He saved my soul from a burning hell. He anointed me to preach his word so I can tell somebody that my God says, if my people will call by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land. Ain't God all right? So in closing, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing what sin is doing to our world, our churches, our community, as well as our nation. But my brothers and sisters, if real spiritual renewal ever came in our lives, we would never be the same. it would change us in everything we touch. Yes, spiritual renewal is a real possibility when we create an atmosphere in which God can work and which spiritual renewal can take place, and we'll see God move in some very amazing and mysterious ways. Now, while genuine revival is not a guaranteed event, at least on a corporate level, it can almost certainly become a reality on a personal level. Because God said, if my people